Something I've noticed, maybe you have too growing up, are that, you know, all the commercials you see on TV, all the advertisements are all about you, right? And that makes sense. So Saturday morning cartoons, all the ads are directed at the kids who are watching. That makes sense. Total sense. And now as technology gets better, advertisements seem to like hone in even more. Like, you ever notice that? Like, you're at home talking with someone and you mention string cheese. And the next day, there's like a bunch of pop-up ads on your computer or your phone for string cheese, because they're always listening. Everything you say, because everything is like directed at you. You're being targeted in that way. I remember once there was a commercial for like Head and Shoulders, and the guy was like, "I wear a lot of black, so I need my Head and Shoulders." And I'm like, "You're at me right now with that, aren't you? That's directed at me." Or they see what you search for on Google, whatever it is. So everything is all about you. It's like it's being tailored for you, which is not necessarily good for the human heart. It's not good for the human heart at all when we begin to believe life is all about us. When everything is being catered to you, we begin to believe the lie that your life is about you, the lie that my life is about me. And what that does, it keeps our hearts small. In fact, C.S. Lewis, who I just love, one of my favorite things he's ever said, he was talking about his own heart. He said, "I've never had anything but a mercenary heart, willing to give my love to the highest bidder." Because when life is all about us, we have no escape from that mercenary heart. And then we hit today's feast, the Feast of the Epiphany. It's so good for a lot of reasons, because what happens is these three wise men or magi, they leave their homes, they leave their lives, their comfort, their families, and they go out on this potentially hazardous, I imagine, dangerous journey. What are they looking to get? Because if I'm going on a dangerous journey, I'm looking to get something. If I'm going to leave behind comfort and home, I'm doing that to get something. And these wise men, they leave their everything. What are they looking to get? And we realize when they get to Jerusalem, when they arrive at Bethlehem, the whole motivation for their leaving home was not to get anything. It says, when they saw the child with his mother, they prostrated themselves and worshiped him, and they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is the only thing that can actually free our hearts, doing what they did. This is the only thing that can undo the mercenary aspect of a mercenary heart. And that is, they didn't come to get anything. They came to give. And they didn't come just to give. They came to give God worship. They came to give him something that was valuable, gifts that were meaningful. So here we have gold, which is a symbol of kingship. There's frankincense, which is used in the liturgy by priests. And then there's myrrh, which is used to anoint a body for burial. All things that are attributed to Christ. But the heart of this, though, are these wise men. They're escaping the trap that their lives are all about them. In fact, worship alone has the ability to help us escape the trap that I start to believe my life is about me, that you start to believe your life is about you. And this is what we do when we come to Mass. Oftentimes, you know, we hear that complaint, "I didn't get anything." That's often why people stop going to Mass. "Well, I stopped going because I wasn't getting anything out of it." And when we say that, we are simultaneously saying the best truth in the world and like the dumbest thing anyone could ever say at the same time. It's true, because we never come to Mass to get anything. Even though, as we always have to point out, we do get the Word of God proclaimed to us. The body of Christ is given to us to feed us. But at the same time, we don't come to get anything. I come to give. Because the thing that's supposed to change us more than anything else is worship. But it's also false to say this, because while it's true I didn't come to get, I came to give, we recognize that being here is doing something to our hearts. You ever stop and just you take God seriously and you realize you don't love God for his own sake? I don't know if that's ever come across your mind. I don't know if I love God for his own sake. Remember C.S. Lewis, "I've never had anything but a mercenary heart, willing to give my love to the highest bidder." If you ever notice that about yourself, I notice it about myself so much that I never loved the Lord for his own sake. And so the question is, how do I do that? How do I actually love God for himself? How do I love the Creator not for his gifts, but for him? And the answer is worship. And not only worship, the answer is worship when I don't get anything. Not even the good feelings, not even consolation, not even inspiration just from being here. Because we have to understand, worship isn't just about giving God what he deserves. It's doing something to us. It's changing us. What does it say in the gospel today? That these wise men, when they offered their gifts, when they gave worship to the Lord God as an infant, it says they departed for their homes by a different way because it changed them. They couldn't leave the same that they arrived. And that's the same thing for us when we come to Mass. When we go to Mass, we should expect that we are not going to be the same people at the end of Mass as we were at the beginning of Mass, because we've encountered the Lord himself. Not just because we're in the burning bush of his presence, and not just because we're being fed with this atomic bomb that is the Eucharist, but because we've loved God for his own sake. To give God worship, especially when we don't feel like it, is the only thing that can truly change us. Because when we show up, when we don't feel like it, we're saying, God, I still choose you when I'd rather not. I'll still give you this hour when I'd rather not. God, I'm still going to give you this worship because it's not because of the gifts you're going to give me, but because you're you. You're God. And you deserve my heart. Until we do that, until we keep coming back to Mass when we don't want to, when we don't feel like it, when we don't get anything out of it, if we don't do that, our hearts are always going to remain small. Our hearts will always be mercenary, willing to be sold off to the highest bidder. But at this Mass, this morning, if you're saying, I'm not getting anything out of this, you're not really speaking to me, good, you're in the right place. If for the rest of this Mass, as we're praying here, you're thinking, I'm not really feeling anything, good. Because that's your heart growing. That's God actually doing something to purify your heart. Because being here isn't about you, it's about him. When you show up, when you don't feel like it, when you continue to come back and worship, when you're not getting anything out of it, it is the only escape from a mercenary heart. And this is the last thing. My life is not about me. And your life is not about you. My heart, I know, is too small. And it gets mixed up with so much self-love and so much concern for self that the only thing that could possibly free me from myself, right, from the prison of myself, the only thing that could possibly set me free from this, is being here. It's showing up not only for Mass, but showing up for prayer consistently. Is saying, I committed to pray this rosary, I'm going to pray that rosary. I committed to a holy hour, I'm going to make that holy hour. I committed to Lectio Divina, I committed to doing the Bible in a year, whatever it was, the only thing that could set us free is worship. Because I've never had anything but a mercenary heart, willing to give my love to the highest bidder. But I want to have a better heart than that, a heart that actually looks like the heart of God. A kind of heart that actually loves like the heart of God. Amen.